So, a little update on the episode that I kind of pulled together really quickly and tried to rush out yesterday because there was such an interesting story going on with the 80,000 Bitcoin moved that appeared to be, as I explained in the episode, that appeared to be someone who was not the owner gaining access to the coins and trying to defend, create like a legal framework for. This is how I can claim this and be legally defended against it. And I had read through a bunch of different posts. I had read an article about it that was like pulling a bunch of the details together, and I was going to check it. And what was funny in yesterday's episode, I even made this mistake and pointed out how often I make this mistake, and how, like, when you're looking at mempool.space, it's for some reason their visual distinction between what is kind of going into the address versus what is being signed by that address or signed by that private key and going out is hard to distinguish. And it was somebody actually in the Raleigh meetup crew that pointed it out, and or I think linked to a tweet that had pointed it out. Because I did not catch this in the stuff that I was looking, because it appeared the assumption, and this is like a key thing that completely changes. It's one little detail that completely changes the, it pivots the entire understanding of what actually happened here, is those op return messages, the legal notice, you have 90 days, the Solomon Bros website that, like, looks like a law firm or whatever, all of that was sent to the address. It was sent to the address with 10,000 Bitcoin. They do not have the private keys of that address. It's no different than all the little spam and dust transactions sent to them over the years and years that had accumulated. It was somebody entirely different, who had nothing to do with the 10,000 Bitcoin at all. And apparently, this I had not seen, but apparently people went digging and found a whole bunch of other 10,000 Bitcoin, or just huge Bitcoin addresses that were like super old, that were sent this exact same thing. Which means it was just, I mean, it wasn't really a scam. It was just fluff. It was just some, like, I could have sent that message. I could have sent legal notice. This is my Bitcoin. Considered this abandoned. If you don't respond by October 5th, we're going to take it as our property. But I have no way to take it. Is completely meaningless. And what may have just happened, the reason that 80,000 Bitcoin moved, may literally just be someone who saw that come in with the op return message, and then they said, okay, well, maybe just in case, I'm going to move it to new keys. And so that's what they did. That actually now seems like the most plausible explanation. It's a holder who's just had his keys the whole time and has owned this Bitcoin. Let's go back just so we can see it. So you can see, like, so this is where the 10,000 Bitcoin goes out. So this is from this address. And again, I wish there was some very clear distinction. I mean, yes, it's red, but it's so hard to know which address is the origin and which is the destination. And so these have nothing to do with, this is BC1 QCS. This is not this address at all. It's a P2PKH transaction. Or address. This one is a P2WPKH address. This is a newer standard. This is a SegWit transaction that sent 548 Bitcoin, the dust limit, with an op return, not abandoned, prove it with an on-chain transaction, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're going to go, and now they updated it to the new standard, and they sent it to a SegWit address, and they just moved their own Bitcoin. And so now the question is that other op return, the op return with the lost, the numbers from lost, completely irrelevant. It was sent to the address from a completely different address. It's no different than the people sending in a bunch of spam and begging for a Bitcoin. And yeah, so none of this was tied to it. I don't know why it was so easy to make that mistake, and assume that those were tied together when looking through this. And I'm just gonna blame it on mempool. I'm gonna blame it on mempool.space. Your visuals, man. You gotta make a distinction between the ones that sign the message and the ones that are just sent to it. It's somehow this is your fault. It's definitely not my fault. No. But yeah, so this is actually a whole lot clearer than everybody is making it out. It's just somebody who's had their keys for 14 years moving it because somebody sent them an op return that looked a little fishy, and actually, it could be an attempt to get them to move the coins just to see if they can, you know, do analysis on it and A, see if, you know, which addresses are still active, like who still has their keys, and B, maybe if they have a large enough presence or they're very careful, they could see, potentially get somebody's IP address off the network based on where that transaction is broadcast from. It could be an attempt to get information from them by spooking them into thinking that they really need to move their keys or move their coins. So anyway, that's just an update. I was excited to dig into what looked like a really cool mystery and completely attach things that were actually not attached just because of what a bunch of other people were saying. And, you know, there you go. Don't trust Verify. You got to take a closer look to make sure you get it right. So that's my update for Guys Take 101. Still a fun little story to kind of dig into, but it looks like it's even simpler than I had assumed. And it just kind of makes a lot more sense if you don't make a silly mistake about it. But that was it. I just wanted to share that. Clearly, no hack, no old laptop that someone got keys to. Doesn't even look like somebody's trying to create a legal defense. It just looks like somebody sent them some spam and a silly message that probably maybe spooked them just a little bit. And they were like, I haven't updated these keys in 14 years, so maybe it's worth sending it to a new wallet. Let's make a new seed phrase, and let's update our keys. That now seems like the most likely story, and the time chain doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. Nobody with a 10,000 Bitcoin balance has signed any message that says legal notice, or we're going to take these coins, or here's some secret mystery of lost season whatever with special numbers about end of the world. So that mystery closed quite quickly. Lynn Alden just released a new piece, and I will be digging into it like literally right now. I've read a little bit of it, but I haven't recorded it yet. And so I'm going to get on that and record it. Hopefully I have it for you guys tomorrow. I'm really, really excited. We have Daniel Batten coming on the show. And we're going to be talking about all about energy and Bitcoin and mining and how the structure and the thinking around the idea of clean energy and quote unquote being green. Like, it's time to flip that whole thing on its head, because there's some really powerful nuance and economic realities there. Many that we've like kind of covered in some respects on the show. But recently I saw a thread and some conversations and stuff produced by him that I thought were really interesting, and they kind of went a level deeper than I had in a really long time. And so I think it's time to renew that conversation, and Daniel seems like the perfect person to have on. So I'm really excited about this. I think this is going to be a really, really cool show. So stay tuned for that one. That'll probably be out. I assume we'll have the read out first and then probably the chat on Friday. It depends on how long it takes me to get Lynn's piece recorded, and a couple other really good pieces actually, and of course the one with the aggregate signatures, that'll be coming too. So stay tuned, stay subscribed. Don't forget to check out Chroma for light health and blue blocking. You need to control your hormones for circadian rhythm. It makes a bigger difference than you might think if you haven't done it. Don't forget to check out the HRF and their financial freedom report, one of my favorite resources for staying up to date on the fight for freedom and the tools to gain and protect that from around the world, and Synonym and PubKey, which is one of those tools to build a new and sovereign web. Check those out. Details and links in the show notes, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a short update, a follow-up to Guys Take 101. I am Guy Swan, and until next time, guys, that's my two sats.